CliffCentral.com.
Hey, hey, hey. Good morning, everybody. We're live. Monday. And we're alive. We made it through the longest night of the year. So congratulations.
Ah.
Very good. How did you keep warm on the longest night of the year? What did you do? Anything fun? Watch a long movie?
Oh, no. I had a ridiculous pass-out situation on Saturday.
You passed out? Did you pass out because you were tired or because you were lazy or because you were drunk?
No, I just slept very early, like 7 p.m.
Oh, I did that last night. Oh, I feel good. Man.
The perk of being indoors so much is I think our skins and bodies are going to love us for this. I'm having like full 8 hours of sleep.
So I was moisturizing on Saturday. And I thought of Sia, because now I can't help thinking of Sia when I moisturize. And I thought, you know, I normally wouldn't do this because I wouldn't have the time. I'd have a busy weekend. I'd have stuff going on. And now, of course, you know, there's nothing going on. So you got time, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I find that being inside with the heaters on, which are drying, I'm like quite crusty and itchy and annoyed.
Crusty, huh?
Yeah. So I've had to exfoliate and moisturize in order to keep on top of the carbuncles and horns.
What have you been doing about feeling annoyed?
Just like itchy and scratchy and annoyed, and I want to get out and I want to go to a restaurant maybe and sit in the sun somewhere. You know, we go through those ups and downs.
Yeah. Well, you can soon enough.
Well, yeah, they say that they meant to this week announce when restaurants can reopen. But I'm not very hopeful, and I'm not trying to be a Debbie Downer on everything here, but restaurants, they say, will be reopening, but they won't allow them to sell alcohol. So, again, this proves that the people in charge of the economy, the government, don't understand economics. What kind of business? What the hell's going on there?
Sorry, that's my dog.
Oh, right.
Who has pointy nails on the wooden floor.
Oh, right. Okay. So he's going for a run, is he?
Yeah.
So the government, who don't understand economics, are making rules for people here, but they don't understand the rules they're making. Because if you open a restaurant and let's say 60% of your profits or at least your running capital are derived from selling liquor, you can't tell people not to buy liquor. You know what I mean? It's just, again, it belies just how completely out of touch politicians are with what really goes on in the world. Because politicians don't ever earn a cent of their own money. So they don't know how it works. You know what I mean?
Right.
No, I mean.
I feel you, player.
Yeah. I feel you, player. Yeah. So this is what I'm talking about. It's just really bizarre that we are dependent upon a bunch. This is like letting, let me think of a good example here. This is like letting people who do not understand basic mechanics to do the engineering on a plane and to check that the plane is skyworthy before all of us hop on to fly somewhere. And this is close to home, obviously, because they're still trying to get us to believe that they know what they're doing with SAA. They've bailed them out again. And they don't know what they're doing. We've got lunatics in charge of the asylum. I don't think it's saying too much, right? I mean, we've gone on and on and around and around in circles with this stuff, but it's becoming more and more obvious to anyone who cares to know that these guys are just totally out of their depth.
Anyway. Well, I'm certain, Mbulelo, you just watched a Bruce Fordyce documentary on the longest Saturday of the year.
You did?
I did not.
I did.
A Bruce Fordyce documentary. Imagine how horrible that is to watch.
No, there's something worse.
What?
I watched the first episode of Garth Brooks, his documentary.
What?
It is unbelievable.
Now, why would you do that? Now, listen, I understand. Okay. If you're a country fan, Garth Brooks, sure. Terrific guy, right?
What?
Yeah, success story in country music, but my God.
No, well, he's an enigma. I mean, he's one of the highest selling artists of all time.
Yeah.
So he's just an interesting figure. You don't have to be interested in science to like Elon Musk. He's just a figure of interest in the world, if you're interested in the world. What is it about this guy? He is intense. Like, everything he says is next level. You got to watch at least one episode.
Just explain to me.
Mm. So they go to his, like, ranch.
Yeah. That, who made that sound? Is that you, Sia?
Mm, yeah. I don't.
I got you. I'm with Sia on this one.
Well, for the last 15 years, he's been like the highest selling artist in the world. It's insane. But anyway, so they go to his ranch and everything he says is like, you know, everything has to be soul wrenching. The next line wrenches your soul. Like, me and my daddy went down the ranch. The ranch is my daddy. Like, what are you saying? It is the entire documentary. So, wild guy.
I know exactly what you mean. It's like, even if you're not into makeup and YouTube, watching a documentary by Jeffree Star and Shane Dawson on the makeup and beauty world.
No, wait. Sure. You left out those other guys.
Westbrook.
That's it.
Teddy Westbrook.
Jeez, there is drama there again. Dramageddon. Spilling the tea.
All right, so we got a lot to cover here. Hang on. Garth Brooks documentaries.
Yes.
Jesus.
At this point, I reckon a Bruce Fordyce documentary would have been
would have been safer, right?
Maybe.
Jesus. Wow.
It's intense. You got to watch one episode.
Here I am asking about The Weeknd. I have no idea how deep it goes.
I opened up this box.
Sure. Pandora had no idea what was going on, right?
Bizarre.
Get what you wish for.
Mm-hmm. All right, so there's some unchecked things here. Leanne, what is happening with Titty Westbrook?
Tati Westbrook.
That's right.
It's actually not her directly this time. And the beauty world has turned against, and the YouTube world has turned against Jeffree Star at the moment.
Oh, what? Why?
Because,
and just as a reminder, Gareth, Jeffree Star is the one who you love to Google image because, well, it's a thrill every time you are reminded of how he
How do you
looks.
Spell Jeffree Star?
J-E-F-R-E-E.
Yeah.
Got Sorry, you. Double F-E-E and then...
What a stupid idiot. Oh, Jesus Christ. Yeah, it's one of the... All right, so that's exactly... Okay. All right.
So he's always had a bit of a shady history, but...
You don't say. He's not a totally balanced human being. I wouldn't have guessed from his beautiful pictures.
No, I'd say he's pretty balanced, but there's
really?
Things... Huh. Yeah, he's a very, very good businessman.
Uh-huh.
Wow. Hugely successful, good businessman. But he has some things in his past. In terms of anti-Semitism.
Oh, yeah? You mean he's from a mental health point of view, totally okay. I got you. All right.
Leanne, over to you.
I think he's probably in a better mental health position than I am, to be honest.
Well, I mean, in the land of the blind, Leanne.
Oh, my gosh.
All right. Yes.
Anyway, Shane Dawson, who's a conspiracy theory YouTuber, and Jeffree are very, very good friends, and they made a palette together for Shane, the conspiracy palette.
What's a palette?
Makeup.
Oh, it's not a bunch of things.
Eyeshadows.
It's not something that it's not a quantity
you store
of...
Okay. Beer in, no.
Okay,
no.
All right.
And anyway, while they were doing that, the whole thing with Tati Westbrook came out, where James, what's his surname, man?
Bond.
See her.
Yeah, you're going to get help from me and...
James Charles,
thank you.
Mm.
Anyway,
I was
going
to say, me and Bolelo are no use to you on this one, I'm afraid.
It's now come out that Tati Westbrook had planned that video that shot down James Charles.
Oh.
And what? That everybody else in the beauty world also knew about it beforehand, including Shane Dawson and Jeffree Star. So now there's a whole big drama. And Shane Dawson, the conspiracy theorist, has actually checked out of the beauty world. Oh. He's like, that's it, I'm out.
Oh, that's terrible. Bulelo, do you know what to say in this kind of situation? Does this also just completely flummox you?
What makes you question what society is about?
Yeah. That's the reason why I love makeup. This stuff.
Yeah.
No, it's because it's beyond makeup. It's what our new generations are.
Yes. Yeah.
I mean, Jeffree Star, I think he's my age.
Oh.
But he is still influencing Generation Y. And this is what people are doing and watching. They're watching makeup and beauty gurus who are actually no longer even, their content isn't even that much makeup anymore.
Send Mbulelo that link. He's going to watch it.
Yes, he's going to watch that rather than a Garth Brooks documentary.
Yeah,
you are wrong.
You are wrong. Okay,
I'm not going to put it past you anymore, Mbulelo.
I got to tell you, this is one of the things I love about being alive right now. And you're going to laugh at me, but I think it's great that there's all this bullshit going on because people like Leanne, and you're not, you know, I mean, I think Leanne's smart and she's interesting and she's interested in this stuff. She knows what's going on there. I don't have a faint idea of any of these people's existence if it weren't for Leanne Moll. I wouldn't know a damn thing about these people.
Yeah, we have to know that this stuff exists.
I agree. I mean, it helps you to know what to avoid.
It's like at the moment we know what happened with Trump's rally, right?
Apparently, there was some stuff that went on there. TikTok and people on what? Social media who bought tickets so that he thought it had sold out, but actually it wasn't?
Well, the whole big thing is that firstly, at this rally in Tulsa, firstly, he'd moved it out because it clashed with Juneteenth.
Which, by the way, is not a really important. I looked it up. Juneteenth is this day when the governor of Texas announced Galveston. He announced in Galveston that slavery had been abolished. So it's a day of celebration, but it's not a public holiday there or anything. And it's never been a day that any president beforehand, even Obama, made a fuss of. So suddenly they decided to move Juneteenth or move his rally because of Juneteenth.
Yeah. I mean, Juneteenth is big to a lot of the community, but especially this year, because of the political undertones and racial undertones that are currently going on. So it was a big deal this year. So he was wise to have it moved. Not that he would have known, or nor his advisors. I don't know. Maybe Trevor Noah must tapped him on the shoulder and said, "Yo,
yeah, like Trevor Noah, who's neither from America nor knows anything about Juneteenth until he Wikipedia's it." But yeah, okay. I'll take your word for it. No. Come on, let's not kid around. I mean, if Trevor Noah is teaching them American history, they've got a lot of problems.
Look, it's big in the African American or whatever they call themselves.
So is Kwanzaa. That's not a problem.
No. Hold on.
Don't do me that favor.
Whoa. So I was at Morehouse, which is one of probably the historically black university. No, my cousin went there. So I went for a graduation.
Yes.
And it's massive there. It's like a really important thing within sort of those institutions. So just because it's not on CNN, Mbulelo, it doesn't mean it's not
Mbulelo
a big thing.
Obama. Yeah, that's who we're talking to. All right. All right.
I want to see Obama's birth certificate still.
Jesus, are you a conspiracy theorist in that front?
This is not what I was banking on a Monday morning.
I know. This is insane.
Already Garth Brooks, Teddy Westbrook, and now a birth certificate.
Garth Brooks. All right.
So anyway, they were expecting at this newly dated Tulsa rally a million people people.
There were a million tickets booked apparently, so everyone was very like, oh wow, Trump's got major support in Tulsa, Oklahoma.
And you know, isn't he so powerful that people aren't even scared of the coronavirus?
Right.
They'll just all gather because so when they all got there there was hardly anyone there. The stadium was absolutely empty.
No, it wasn't No. I've seen pictures. No, it was absolutely empty. That's very fake news of you.
There were 20,000 people there as opposed to a million.
Right.
Okay.
And the reason was that people had bought tickets, but they didn't actually pitch.
Because and it's rumored that it was TikTok fans and K-pop fans.
Right.
Because the tickets were actually free. You just had to book them.
Right.
I'll admit, this is very petty. It doesn't remind you of what 50 Cent did to Ja Rule?
I loved that.
At his concert.
Do you know, I like
Remind us?
That was such a good move.
Yeah.
I loved that.
Because there's a feud going on between the two of them. And so 50 Cent bought a bunch of seats at a Ja Rule concert. And there was, I think, one random guy or a couple of guys in the space of, you know, tons and tons of seats. Yeah. But what I enjoyed from seeing visuals from this weekend's event were the poor director, I could tell, was trying to make and create these camera angles and camera panning to the crowd. But you could tell he couldn't really move out much because then he'll show empty seats. So especially when the camera is right on the president and he starts to zoom out and zoom out, and then he just like abruptly stops and then he zooms back in.
It is worth mentioning at this point that while the people didn't pitch up for this because the tickets to the stadium had been sold, they were like, the whole city has about, I don't know, you know, a couple of million people. But there were people outside, like millions and millions of people who'd gathered, or at least hundreds of thousands of people by the looks of things. But they couldn't get into the stadium because they hadn't booked tickets for the inside of the stadium. So not a complete failure in Trump's part, but it again just shows you the clout of social media. So it's interesting to see these things. And I do think, like, we're living in interesting times where people can be measured on the day for their support and the kind of influence that they have, blah, blah, blah. You know, this is really interesting because we've never been able to measure politicians like this in this way before. And I think it's great. Like, keep them on their toes, you know?
Absolutely.
All right. Well, anything exciting happened for you this weekend, Leanne? You weren't planning anything, but you had some aunt duties, kazant duties.
Yes, I did my kazanty and my brother his kazankle duties.
Kazankle. Yeah.
And we had a very small family gathering of six people.
And did you not do anything for Father's Day? Because I did some of that yesterday.
No, I didn't. I was really bad. My brother went and bought a gift and dropped it off. And I did nothing. I just gave him a phone call. But I was reading an article, actually, about how they did a poll on what fathers really want for Father's Day.
They want to be left alone. Because,
shame, we give them chocolates and ties.
Let me guess, they want you to just leave them alone.
all they want is a phone call. That's
oh, really?
All they want.
Is that it?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
It's kind of a bit
Whereas mums, I think, they'll say all they want is a phone call, but they actually want a visit and roses.
Yeah, mums probably have a little bit more in the can there. But, you know, it's like saying you love your mum is, you know, that's standard procedure. And anybody who doesn't has got something wrong with them, frankly, because mums, you know, love for a mum is part of what's in everyone's life. Some people have very complex relationships with their father. It's a different set of circumstances.
But that's just family. I don't think it's a mom or dad thing.
Yeah.
Like, if you can't say, I love my dad, or if you're uncomfortable with that word, there's some stuff going on.
There is some stuff going on. And let's face it, that's the case for a lot of people. Father's Day is not everyone's favorite time of the year. Let's be frank. Anyway,
what did you do yesterday, Gareth?
We just took my dad out for a lunch. Well, we'd made the lunch, so it wasn't like we went out for lunch.
That's sweet.
Where are you going to go out for? But we made some fires and things, and it was very nice. It was a nice, quiet sort of family day, and it was just the three of us, my sister's boyfriend and my brother's wife and the two kids, and it was sweet. It was lovely.
We actually don't realize how many people are affected on, say, a Father's Day in some way. I mean, you've got obviously fathers, you've got grandfathers, stepfathers, foster fathers.
Yeah.
single moms who sometimes have to play the role of both.
Yeah.
You've got those who've lost their fathers before.
Yep.
There's so many people who are actually affected by it. It's not just like, oh, just
but come on, it will be over in 24 hours. I'm sorry to seem like I don't have a heart, but I mean, it's just a damn day. I found for the first time.
Seems like just smashing Father's Day into the rocks.
No, I don't. Like, look, it's a day of celebration. Yeah, if you want to celebrate someone, celebrate them. If you don't have anyone to celebrate, I feel sorry for you, but don't take away from someone else. So even this notion of people who say, well, no, my dad isn't around, so I'm going to celebrate my mom. Wait until Mother's Day or any other day, but don't spoil the fun for anyone else. You know what
it
is. Else.
Yeah, but it's not spoiling the fun. It's that they feel left out. That's what it is.
And that's why I'm just saying those it's are, a day.
Yeah, I'm with also, you, but these people are very self-absorbed, Sia.
I'm now getting to an age, I guess, where more and more of my peers are having kids. And this is the first time I encountered it yesterday. A lot of people started sending me pity Father's Day messages.
What?
Happy Father's Day to you, Sia, for the role you play in my child's life. I'm like, no, honey, I am not your kid's dad. Uh-oh. I don't want to be anybody's daddy. I don't care for kids.
Oh,
that is
really?
Why I don't have kids. Yes, I thought it's now pity. Like, you know, sometimes people who don't have kids are looked at like, oh, shame, you know.
Yeah, we must remember Sia, even though he doesn't have children.
Yeah, it's just not the same. Well, we appreciate your father. I'm like, no, miss me with that, because next thing you're going to be wanting money and child support and who knows what else.
No, I got the funniest one from one of my friends. Let me just read it to you quickly. This is the best kind of Father's Day message to get.
Uh-oh.
I almost forwarded to a bunch of other people, and then I thought, nah, it's probably a bit tasteless. Let the fathers enjoy their day. Hey, dude, just want to say congrats on not being a father.
Ah.
Is that the full message?
No, there's more, but it's quite rude. And you know, the fact is, like we've spoken about this so many times before, one way to be absolutely sure that you will never be in poverty is to not have a child unless you absolutely want to and until you've decided to. And this seems to it seems to skip a few people. There are a few people who don't seem to understand this. This is a very well established fact that the one sure way to be poor for the rest of your life is to have a kid before you're married or too soon.
But then there's still the belief that when they're older, will look after you.
Oh, sure.
Okay. Yeah.
But I don't know that that's going to happen. But
yeah, it's not a guarantee anymore.
Yeah, let's just park that there, because I don't want to get into argument with people who are proud of being dads, and there's nothing wrong with that. And I love
for them.
Yeah, I love people who are happy with their life and happy with their decisions. But it is an established fact that if you have had a child out of wedlock, usually, or not necessarily in wedlock, because we're not all about traditional families anymore, but that is one surefire way to not only put yourself, especially if you're going to be that kind of derelict father who doesn't pitch up and doesn't do your duties as a father, that's one surefire way of making sure your kid grows up in poverty and likely ends up in trouble throughout their life. But it's also a way that you yourself prove that you have no responsibility. And we know that story all too well in South Africa, don't we? I mean, look, just go to maintenance court and I'll show you what
I mean. And then I'm just going to admit this now, because I've gotten over the guilt and the shame of it.
Uh-oh.
But while I was chatting to a friend yesterday, we sort of very in like a nonchalant way and just throwing it out there like, did you see so-and-so's dad?
Oh, you're saying the people's dads look bad?
Oh, so-and-so's dad really looks good. And then we started seeing.
Started thinking of the hot dads.
Look, thank you for posting your fathers yesterday, because now some of y'all really have good-looking dads.
And some people's genes are, you know, that's where it comes from. So you can see sometimes if someone has a really terrible-looking father, that's what they're going to look like one day.
Hey, no lie. A friend of mine, I'm not sure if we've spoken about this before, has a rule. He will not date a girl until he's met the mom.
Yeah, you like, told me. Won't, that's a good rule, though.
Yeah, he's got to... And he's a long-term thinking guy, so...
Yeah, no, that's a very...
He's obviously
rule.
Not long-term thinking if he's looking at just looks.
No, well, you can see the genetics. as well.
If he was long-term thinking, he would be thinking about what value that woman could provide to his life and not please. What she fucking looked like.
Leanne, are you kidding? You're talking about Pudelo here. This is the most superficial guy in the world.
When he says
a friend, he means himself.
And that's no lie.
I know that.
Yeah.
Leanne, I wish I have oodles and oodles of money one day to prove you wrong in an extreme way. I want to develop a faceless version of Tinder to show how little anyone cares about what's on the inside. Instead of someone's profile picture to swipe left or right, it should list their values, and let's see how successful that is. Swipe right.
Yeah, but you know what? You're not wrong. You're not wrong. But see, let's be fair. I mean, the reason that won't work is because people lie about their values.
Absolutely.
They just lie. Yeah. I mean, people will say, I'm a good person. I clean out the trash every day. I wash my own dishes. I make my own bed. I'm a really good person. And when you meet them, you're like, wow, what a douchebag.
But on a serious note, it's like,
people are shits.
What a douchebag.
No, they aren't.
But you got to meet the parents, because if the mom's like on pills and sick and you know what's coming down the pipeline,
that is so
you got to know the stuff.
Like hypochondria. No, they are. They're qualities. Look,
absolutely.
They, you know, the worst part of getting old is that I'm starting to realize I'm a lot like my father, right? And there are a lot of things that used to irritate me about him that are now things I do. And that's jarring, let me tell you.
Yeah, we are products of our upbringing and environment. So if a mom's neurotic, then you got to be out because that is in that person.
Yep.
So you got to look out for these things. Time to get real.
And I do agree, like the physical characteristics too, because, you know, let's face it, you are half your genes, right?
Absolutely. If not more.
So that's something, Leanne, that of course there are, you know, things about you that make you a great person that have nothing to do with your looks or your physical ailments or any of that stuff. But that part of it is pretty important. It's not, doesn't go away.
Mm. Absolutely.
Yeah, I suppose. I just feel like a wise old owl this morning. That's all. Actually, I'm wearing a scarf with owls on it.
That's cute. You are our wise old owl this morning, then.
you put so much effort into looking good in the morning. Meanwhile,
no, just
roll up in front of you, like take it or leave it.
Accept the compliment.
Yes. Okay. Yes.
We're all learning here. We're all learning to be better. Okay. Let's.
The only father.
Yes.
We all need is Father Ted. By the way, I just wanted to mention that.
Who's Father Ted? That old priest?
No, from the show.
Bundy?
No, this is where Mbulelo also breaks the mold a little bit, because he watches things like Father Ted, which is really like English comedy that, you know.
Genius.
It's not popular with everybody, let's face it. I love English comedy, but Mbulelo and I were laughing the other morning about, was it The Fast Show or some Scottish thing? And this is not stuff that everybody finds funny. So don't take his advice on Father Ted, because you might be disappointed. I've learned the hard way. A lot of my friends are like, oh, you think this stuff's funny? It's stupid. Really?
Yeah, I
do like
Black
The
Adder.
Fast Show. I know that.
Yeah, The Fast Show I know you like. But Black Adder you just mentioned. So there's something for you. Apparently they celebrated like the 25 or 30 years since Black Adder. And there's a documentary which you can get online, where they interview all the people, and it's really good. It's all about the history of the show.
I've seen it.
Oh, you've seen it already?
No, it's my favorite comedy of all time.
So the writers are Ben Elton and what's the other guy's name?
I forget what his name is, but they did The Thin Blue Line as well with Rowan Atkinson.
So clever.
Yeah, they're brilliant.
So there's something for the fans of that genre. All right, let's move on. We've got some headlines to get to this morning. You want to know what's happening in the world? Well, you've come to the right place. It's not just about us talking bullshit. This morning, we have some real interesting stuff for you, starting with Fikile Mbalula. Government, he says, has no more money to offer the taxi industry. You don't say. And how long
but
do you
think? They've just given them what? Yes,
yeah.
Something billion?
Couple of million, yeah. Billion. 1.135 billion, yeah.
Well, I should hope after that there's no more money.
Well, he says the reality is the government has no more funds available to offer the taxi industry. And I'm sorry to be the one to point this out to people who think that government is this bottomless pit of money. But this line is going to be trotted out by all the other ministers over the next few months, because Tito Mboweni has closed the taps. There is nothing coming in, and there is lots going out. And this is not going to be sustainable. You know how when you fill a dam up with water because there's rain, and then everybody uses water in their houses because they turn on the tap and the water comes out? Well, the dams are empty, everybody. So when you open those taps, guess what? Dry. That's what happens. You don't have to be an economist to figure this one out. Tax revenues are down. The economy is suppressed like it's never been before. We're looking at unemployment levels like we've never had before. So the outlook for those who like government money, very bleak. And that's bad news for a government that's promised people that they'll pay for everything and they'll give them everything for free, right?
Mm. Yep.
So he said to the media that there is a planned taxi shutdown in Gauteng on Monday. The association, the Taxi Association, is opposing the government's relief package, saying it's not enough. Now, 1.135 billion rand, which they have obviously never paid back, isn't enough. They want more. It's just, it boggles my mind. You're in private business, guys. If you don't want to be in private business, I'll take over the taxi business. Number one, I'll probably make it more effective than you are. I'll run it better. I'll make more profits, and I'll probably lower the prices for people over a period of time, and there'll be less violence because it's run by gangsters who don't know how to add and subtract. The guy who adds and subtracts is the passenger who ends up in the passenger seat next to the driver. They have to do all the calculations.
Yeah.
But look, it's already started this morning. Taxis have blocked main entrances in and out of Laudium and Pretoria. Oh, some taxis have already started blocking roads in Mabopane as well. So they're going to be basically, you know, parking and creating a barricade on main roads.
So he is saying there's no more money. They're saying we want more money. Again, this is where... They should just say to them, fine, then go out of business like SAA. We don't have any more money. Why should we keep diseased, cancerous industries like the taxi industry and SAA alive? Why? When the patient is that sick, put it out of its misery.
Well, in this case, we know what the reason is. Half of government owns most of the taxis. Mm-hmm. Let's not pretend we don't know what's happening.
So what is that? Is Santla? What's the
one? He's hand like a
there we go. One hand washes the other. That's what's happening here. All right.
Yeah.
The American Bar Association have canceled a speech by former President F.W. de Klerk. He was supposed to speak on a range of issues, including the rule of law, racism, and constitutional democracy. The American Bar Association made the decision after objections from Truth and Reconciliation Commissioners, human rights activists, and the son of Fort Kalata, one of the slain Craddock Four. Lucano, that's his son, was the first to call for the cancellation, saying de Klerk's hands are dripping with blood. Okay, so we won't hear from someone whose hands were dripping in blood, so one day no one will know what exactly happened. Go ahead, cancel. That sounds fine, because it's all about your feelings right now. It's got nothing to do with all of us learning from our mistakes. And if there's one big mistake we can learn from, it's apartheid, right? But let's not hurt your feelings. And I understand, like, Fort Kalata and what happened there was revolting. And I know that the Truth and Reconciliation Commission didn't necessarily deliver the kind of justice that a lot of people wanted. But it is the way we all decided this country should go. It was the way that the white people in this country decided when they voted yes in the referendum. And it was the way that the people of this country voted, both during CODESA, which was a negotiated peace and a negotiated settlement, and afterwards in 1994 when people voted for a majority government of the ANC. And post that, we made some decisions. Now, if that isn't interesting to you, then how can you complain about how things are now? And I'm not talking specifically to Lucano Kalata here. I'm talking to all of us. We need to understand our history so that we can better plot the future. I don't know why people are so opposed, just because it's painful to hear about how the past went. And someone like F.W. de Klerk, who was at the center of that, and who's happily still alive, so we can pick his brain, find out what went down, so that those people who are unhappy about the current regime, as it would be, and want to know why people like you know, Magnus Malan and Adrian Flock were never sent to jail. We want to know why, right? Guess who's at the in the pound seat to be able to tell us the answers to those questions? Guess. F.W. de Klerk, that's right. But you want to cancel him because it's more important for us to protect people's feelings right now than it is for us to learn from history and be adult about the next step. Anyway. Not for me to reason why. We'll be here all day if I try.
No, very good point. Very well put.
Zimbabwean authorities say people who cannot explain where their wealth came from are in danger of having their assets seized, even if courts clear them. So, in other words, you could be selling illegal cigarettes to South Africa right now.
Hashtag stop.
Right. And if you have suitcases of money... The Zimbabwean government is so greedy for money right now that they will go extrajudicial. They will go beyond what the courts decide in order to just come and seize your cash. Be very aware of this. This is not about them going after illicit wealth or them going after people who've accumulated money illegally. This is about them stealing from even more people. This is the government of Zimbabwe stealing. And they're trying to make it legal. By the way, Zimbabwe is on the brink of collapse. I mean, they've constantly been on the brink of collapse.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. What's new?
They've been bouncing up and down on that brink of collapse, like waiting for it to fall out from under them. But they now need money so badly that they'll go after money that isn't theirs. Apparently, the watchdog Transparency International recently singled out Zimbabwe. As looking very suspicious, especially when it comes to coronavirus and medical supplies, which were highly inflated, indicating possible corruption. On Saturday, the country's health minister, Obadiah Moyo, was charged with the criminal abuse of office related to a contract. He's expected to appear in court in July. That would be like Zweli Mkhize having to explain why he's benefiting from, you know, a tender around corona. Can you imagine? Anyway, they're going to do this intensive lifestyle audit on some rich people. They've had to produce their invoices on what goods or services they rendered, and this has to match the value of the acquired properties.
I'm imagining like this boot camp for rich people.
And guess what they won't be doing? They won't be going after government ministers who are suddenly looking suspiciously wealthy, will they?
Every time you say suspicious, I get the TikTok song stuck in my head. Don't be suspicious, don't be suspicious, don't be suspicious, don't be suspicious, don't be suspicious.
That's hilarious. So apparently they've found a ring of prehistoric shafts dug thousands of years ago near Stonehenge.
Oh, wow.
A ring?
Yes, ring of suspicious...
Don't be suspicious, don't be suspicious. Don't be suspicious. Don't be suspicious.
No, that word is not in the story. I just threw it in to see what Leanne would do. Okay, she delivered in spade loads. Speaking of spade loads, that's what they're going to have to do, is take out spade loads of earth to figure out what was going on here. But they've apparently found a 1.2-mile or 2-kilometer-wide circle of large shafts measuring more than 10 meters in diameter, 5 meters in depth, around Durrington Walls, which is 2 miles from Stonehenge. Do you like that?
Okay. Well, the Brits love Stonehenge. They will protect it. Oh, my God.
Well, it is interesting. I mean, those stones, there's no...
They didn't move themselves.
There's no explanation as to how they got there and who arranged them like that. And it's still very hard to figure it out because we know that even with the huge numbers of slaves that were around in the ancient world. Manpower is not enough to pull some of those things along because there was just no mechanical means for them to lift these tons and tons of stone. So it is very interesting. But they're saying that they found this new ring of stones, and sophisticated practice demonstrates that the people were so in tune with natural events to an extent that we can barely conceive in the modern world, because apparently it was laid out in such a way that it seems to have indicated the seasons and all the rest of it. They contain a rich and fascinating archive of previously unknown environmental information. The study finds allowed archaeologists to write detailed narratives of the Stonehenge landscape for the last 4,000 years. That's incredible.
Fothau.
And this around the summer solstice in the north, which is obviously a big date in the calendar. It took place online this year as the annual gathering at Stonehenge was cancelled due to coronavirus. All the druids, you know who the druids are? They're those people who wear the funny outfits and go out.
Yes, I do.
The druids usually
wear outfits.
Yeah, they get dressed up and celebrate the summer solstice at Stonehenge every year.
And it's hilarious.
Anything with an outfit kind of gets me going.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah, you'd love it. You could be a druid. You'd like the dressing up part.
Fabulous.
Fabulous.
No, look, they look very typical, biblical.
Yeah. It's nice.
Some of them look, they have a flower band over their heads.
Oh, fabulous.
Some even have like some sashes over their shoulders.
Sure.
I could make this work. Oh, they even have stones on their around their necks, stones as pendants. I love to accessorize, so call me a druid. Sure.
All right, so you're getting all excited about dressing up like a druid.
It's his new thing this week. It's like, Sia, what's your orientation? I'm druid.
I'm of the druid nation.
Then just some other info. You see, we discover history sometimes, even if they try to hide it. 19 victims of the 1989 U.S. invasion of Panama have been unearthed in a cemetery as part of an official investigation into the operation. About 500 Panamanians are believed to have died during the invasion, but rights groups say the true number is higher. The remains of the 19 victims were placed into a mass grave but later reburied in Panama City, along with dozens of others. Some bodies remain unidentified, and they've been working for 30 years to make sure that they have some inner peace. That's according to Trinidad Ayola, who's the president of an association that is helping to identify the victims. So we'll see. That was when they tried to bring Noriega to justice, remember? The invasion took place after ties between the U.S. and the Panamanians sank to an all-time low. George H.W. Bush said he was ordering that to get Noriega. He was arrested 2 weeks later. He was taken to the U.S. where he was sentenced to jail for drug trafficking and money laundering. He spent the rest of his life in custody, first in the U.S., then in France, and finally under house arrest in Panama. He died in 2017, aged 83, as a result of complications from an operation to remove a brain tumor.
Noriega, there's a figure that doesn't get enough sort of attention in the media. What a guy he was.
You thought he was a good guy?
No, I think he was.
Interesting.
Yeah. Wow. He doesn't get that light on him. He was something else. He was different.
He's a bit of a warlord, but
sorts.
Yeah, that part of the world has had their fair share, right?
Yes.
Unbelievable. All right. So Leanne has a story for us about the EFF. Apparently, they are furious about a fireside chat that Cyril Ramaphosa gave during a Q&A, where he was sitting next to a fireplace. So he's obviously in his house. I mean, we're all in quarantine, even the president. Why do they have a problem with a fireplace? What's this all about? Leanne, your mic's on mute. Or else your cat stood on the button by mistake. Just unmute yourself.
No, I did mute it.
Okay. What's their problem with, they don't like fireplaces?
I think they're trying to say it's showing that he's in a position of comfort and wealth when other people are battling at the moment.
But who doesn't know that about Cyril? He's a billionaire.
They're saying he should have used the... Because, you know, like on Zoom, you can choose your backdrop.
Oh, yeah?
They're saying he should have used the normal presidential backdrop.
Oh, right.
Like everybody else uses. It's just completely ridiculous.
They have a problem. You see, this is where you're really inventing problems. Like, they have a problem with the president's background on Zoom. You have to have run out of real issues. And there are real issues in this country, but it shows you that the EFF's not really that interested in the actual problems. They just want to make a noise about... So they don't like his fireplace.
They're picking out absolutely everything.
So, in other words...
They're just saying,
Cyril, I mean, what do they want? They want him to look like he's in misery? He's in constant discomfort? Is that what they want? so weird. It's just such a weird way of thinking of things. Like, you want people to look as uncomfortable. And why do they hate other people being happy because they're unhappy? Why do they hate that? The EFF.
What's hilarious is they are the guys who walk around with loafers that are Italian and cost 20 grand and Gucci belts.
Yeah.
These are the very same people. So it's hilarious.
They love them some luxury, unless it's someone else's luxury.
Yeah. Like, I mean, he was sitting at his
Malema asked Ramaphosa, which science says you can open schools but answer questions from the comfort of your home next to your fireplace?
Oh, boy.
I think he means can't open schools or something. Yeah,
he's also trying to just anything right now. You can tell the EFF are in a bit of a fix because all those guys who were implicated in the VBS bank situation have all been arrested, remember? And they all appeared in court last week.
Mm. Yeah. They all did pay for bail, 100,000 each.
They did, huh? So, because we were talking about that on Friday. And now, you know, they're getting closer and closer. So people like Julius are getting a little uncomfortable, as you may understand. So we have to invent new problems.
Mm-hmm.
This is one of them, clearly.
Yeah.
Anyway, I mean, we'll have to just keep an eye on this and see what happens. But I'm not massively positive about the outcome of anything the EFF are involved in at the moment. Just sounds to me like it's a political distraction of some kind or another.
Always.
I wish I could say I believed them, but I honestly have such a problem making sense of anything that those guys do right now. All right, what else is going on in the world? Bulelo, how's the sports world looking?
Yeah, it's looking good. We are all the way back in the Premier League, which is phenomenal.
That must be such a relief to you because you...
Oh, my goodness. Tell us about that. No, so it's all the way back on that front, which is awesome. All the big clubs are back behind closed doors. They figured out production with filtering sound in, which isn't too bad. But it's just awesome to have that world back, you know, on the weekends for those of us that enjoy that whole world. It's amazing. And tonight, Cliff Central Sport, Neil McKenzie, former Protea, 7:30 on YouTube.
Excellent.
So that's going to be an awesome conversation.
Yeah, I'd listen to that because he was a bit of a hero when we were, you know, when I was in my 20s, I suppose, and he was a South African cricketer, and he also had that very hot wife,
Kerry
McGregor. And you remember that. Yes.
Kerry and Stacey. Tracy. Tracy.
There was Tracy, there was Kerry, and then there was another sister as well. Anyway, that's not the most important thing about him. I don't want to denigrate the guy's whole cricket career, which was quite spectacular.
Well, you've already done it.
I apologize.
Put him in the trash.
All right, sorry.
Yeah, yeah.
Jeez.
No.
What can I do?
Mulelo, Gareth is trying here, okay?
I'm trying to find sport interesting. No, but I'll be listening. That sounds good.
Yeah. So 7:30 tonight, Cliff Central Sport on YouTube. Neil McKenzie. Great
Very
guy.
Good. Very good. All right. And what's going on with you, Sia? I mean, you're always watching the news and you're always watching TV and you watched that movie 8 that we spoke about on Friday morning.
Listen, I didn't even make it through a significant chunk of that movie. I tried to, and I just couldn't.
Why, you didn't enjoy
eight
it?
Eight is in the number? Like, was it spelled out?
It's too freaky. No. I sat down, I made a deal of it. I just don't like horrors, and I really wanted to watch it to be part of the conversation, to support this awesome production. And then I just remembered that I'm way too... Is the word susceptible?
Yeah.
That's a word.
In this case, I know what he's angling at. So yes, the word is susceptible.
Mulelo is the word caterpillar. No, I'm way too susceptible to things affecting me, and so I just stopped because it will screw up my head. I realized then that there are certain things that I've picked up in horror movies that still stay with me to this day.
Uh-oh.
Like whenever I see a VHS tape, all I think about is that horror movie. Is it The Ring?
Yes.
Where if you watch a VHS and then 7 days later you die. It's like, come on now. That was, yeah. I watched it years ago, and I'm still thinking about it. I don't want to put myself through that.
Don't feel bad. I don't like watching horrors, especially if I'm on my own at home. Mm-hmm. I know it sounds really, it's piss poor, and you know a lot of people laugh at me for that, but I don't like watching horror movies. Mm-mm. Not for me.
No, then I'll be the idiot who sees the poor actors who started this production in real life, and then I'll go screaming down the road. No.
Yeah, right, exactly.
It used to be fun when I was younger. Like, I remember the ones I was doing renovations at my house, so I couldn't have been that young. But my cousin and I, there was no electricity because of the renovations. Uh-oh. My cousin and I stayed over and...
I'm scared
already. Had a mattress and watched. How did we watch if there was no electricity? That's weird. Maybe there just weren't lights. But we watched horrors in the dark.
Oh, man.
And ate marshmallows and things. And I don't know. She loves it. She's like Tabo Modisane with that.
Yeah, you know, he used to love scaring himself.
He's a Halloween baby. Yeah, and he loves scaring himself. But I also, it sticks with me forever. I still, if I'm in a glass shower and my eyes are closed and I'm shampooing my face or washing my face, I'm petrified that when I open my eyes, there's going to be someone standing there.
Whenever I always have to, you know, I can lather up my whole body and I don't care, but when it comes to my eyes, I'm like, oh, okay, I can see, okay.
No, you hear noises and you think someone's walked in and they're looking at you.
Yeah. Or like,
wow,
you towel off the steam from the mirror and someone's standing behind you.
At least I know how to scare you guys.
Oh, no.
Just get someone to sneak into your house while you're showering. Oh,
you remember Sia's scream when Michael jumps out of the cupboard?
Yeah. Oh, yes. No, that's the kind of scream we'll get.
It seems like such a stupid example as well, but on a bad day, this gets to me. I watched the movie Get Out, and part of the horror is this cult controls your mind by just, stirring a cup. And so it's just the scraping sound of a spoon against a cup that gets to you. So on a bad day, hearing someone just innocently stir it, I'm like, oh, Lord.
Sia.
Yeah. No, horrors are not for you.
Sia, what's behind you?
Shut up.
Oh, such a bitch, Leanne.
Shut up.
You know, you can see your own behind on the screen. You don't have to turn around.
Hey, Leanne bust her cat snoring, and she actually recorded it.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
let me see if I can find this.
He snores very loudly, and he's the youngest of them all. He's a little thing, so it's quite interesting.
Well, you can sometimes hear, you can hear Carl snoring in the background here, because he lies on the...
Is that what I hear?
Yeah, it's Carl. He lies, and then I have to, like, get his attention, but he's old now, so he's going deaf, so if I don't throw something next to him, that he can feel the vibrations, then otherwise he'll snore the whole way through the show. Carl! Okay, now he's just looked up at me now. All right, here's Leanne's cat. Listen to this. Listen. Here it comes. You hear that?
Wait. It's very faint.
No, hang on. You get louder. It's too soft, Leanne. I can't hear a damn thing on this thing.
Get a bigger cat.
Yeah. I turned up the sound and everything, and it's not really coming through. So,
that's weird.
Not the greatest recording.
And I think what the fun part of the next recording was that I was recording him, and then he bust me. So it kind of went.
I thought you bust your cat. Okay, yeah. And then he stops.
And then he went. Well.
I saw you standing there. Oh man, you know, if you don't have if you don't have family in your life, cats and dogs become a close replacement.
Yeah, sure. I need a bit of time away from my animals, actually.
Well, you've been locked up with them for how long?
Yeah,
it's ridiculous. Of course, the animals have loved the lockdown more than anyone. They've had the best time.
Except cats. I do think cats are just like, this is my space, human, get out of here.
Probably. No, probably. I think a lot of people feel that way about their children right now. Without a doubt.
Definitely.
That's a reality for many people. All right. Well, we've got lots to do this morning. We've got people to speak to. We're also going to check in with that lunatic, Ryan Strumrett. He's, you know, the guy who swims in that freezing water.
He's outrageous.
Yeah. And a friend of mine told me that they do that every morning, and they've been doing it through winter as well. It lowers the body temperature. It's really good for you, apparently. I think it's madness.
Getting out of bed lowers the body temperature. Oh,
yeah, exactly. You have to jump in a pool for idiots.
I know a couple of these guys. They are insane.
I'm surprised you don't do it, actually. You'd strike me as the kind of person who'd do something like that.
The long-distance swimming.
Well, the cold swimming.
You know, I couldn't do what they do. Not all the way to Robben Island. No chance.
The noises that come out of me when I'm showering. Can you imagine?
All the way to Robben Island.
That's what they do. They swim that far. All right, it is 7 o'clock. Let's get on with it. We've got lots to get to this morning. And your messages and your calls and your comments on 0797482090. Let us know what's up. Okay, let's do this. Everybody. What's going on with my sound? There is a definite problem with my sound here on this laptop. Hang on a second. I just tried to play something.
Wasn't it John Burke? What's happening with my sound?
What's going on in my sound? He used to say that, yeah. But I used to do that also to my producer. I'd be like, where is my sound? But I was actually messing with them. Stupid.
You can follow their stuff.
Hang on. Now we got something else going on here. Jesus. You know, it's amazing how, like, you prepare everything on your computer and then something just happens while you're doing a live show. Nothing's ever easy. All right, let's get on with it. It's Monday morning, CliffCentral.com. Ooh, girl, you're shining. CliffCentral.com.